Welcome to a Sober Girls Guide podcast, a lifestyle podcast based on sobriety and recovery. I'm your host and sober girl, Jessica Jabot. Inspired by my own sobriety and wellness journey, I want to spread the wealth of knowledge. Tune in each week for uncensored conversations about mental health, self-development, wellness and spirituality, and how they influence each guest's unique recovery journey. My goal is to educate and inspire and to let you know you are not alone on your recovery journey. Thanks so much for tuning in to a Sober Girls Guide podcast. Let's go! Hello, hello, and welcome to episode 261 of the Sober Girls Guide podcast. The non-alcoholic beverage scene just got so much cooler, as if it wasn't cool enough. Stacy and Summer are here to share their sobriety journeys and how it led them to open Stay, a zero-proof cocktail lounge. Actually, it's LA's first and only all-booze-free bar. They explain how their bond as single, sober moms and now business partners has evolved and how starting a movement within the alcohol-free culture is an uphill climb. None of this is easy, but doing it sober makes it so much more rewarding and without a hangover, so much more enjoyable. Stacy and Summer are tastemakers who are changing the way we all socialize, and I gotta say, it sounds pretty darn sexy. This episode is so fantastic. Let's get into it. Ladies, what's going on? Stacy, Summer, it's so great to talk to you today. I'm really excited to talk about Stay. I can't believe it. You guys are like bringing LA back. You're bringing LA on the map. What is going on? How are you doing?
Thanks, Jessica. Nice to meet you. What's going on? We're here. We're at Stay Zero Proof Cocktail Lounge, and we are standing on a lot of other people's shoulders in this incredible movement. We are showcasing what it looks like to have a kick-ass time without alcohol at the center of your experience. And it's been pretty awesome.
That's so cool. When did you guys actually open your doors?
Well, we had a event on New Year's Eve, and that was because we desperately wanted to reopen the space because the original Hong Kong Cafe, which was an old punk rock club that was housed here in our location, closed on New Year's Eve in 1981. So
we were
so desperate to get open. So we weren't actually open, but we did have our first event on New Year's Eve coming into 2024. And then we had a bit of a soft open, and then we were open January 12th. So
cool.
Just over 3 months.
And it's such a unique space. I definitely want to get into Stay and all that you guys offer and how Stay even came to be. But first of all, I want to back it up a little bit and talk about your personal relationship with alcohol and what that looks like, or lack thereof. So I don't know, Stacy, do you want to start us off and give us a little, I like to call it your BS self, your before sobriety self. What did that look like? Give us a behind the scenes.
Yeah, we call it a little experience, strength, and hope, Jessica. So before sobriety, that's a long time ago, Jessica.
How long?
Long time ago. I'm sober since February
6, 1987. Wow.
Oh, I know. It's hard to believe I'm that old, isn't it?
Wait, did you get sober when you were like 10? Like, how is that even possible?
Bring it, Jessica. Bring it. That's always what we want to hear.
That's amazing.
I was 20 and in college.
Okay.
So, yeah. So, though it was a quick run starting at, you know, from 12 to 20 was my quick run, if we call that the before sobriety. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, there's a lot of story to tell there. I think ultimately the most important part of the story is that, oh, I was born into what I think is a challenging situation with a relationship to alcohol. So I, gratefully, at 20 years old, you know, I feel like the sunlight of the spirit opened up and tapped me on the shoulder and said, you don't have to live this way. You know, I mean, I'm into alcohol to protect myself, to save myself from the feelings I was having, to run away from life experiences at a very young age. In many ways, I said that as a teenager, I feel like alcohol saved me, you know, until it stopped, you know, until it stopped working. And so, of course, I have with 37 years of being clean and sober, I have a, you know, a lot of story to tell. I don't want to take up too much of our time on that. I live in gratitude every day that the universe, two things, that the universe, you know, that the universe really showed me that alcohol and drugs were a problem for me. Mm-hmm. For me, I'm an admitted alcoholic. So for me that, you know, I like to say, I thank the disease of alcoholism for, you know, showing me that there's an entire other way to live life.
Yeah.
And for me, that life includes recovery and an entire process around that. And I've been, you know, super active in that world for many, many years. And that world, you know, keeps me seated and grateful and blessed and of service. I think that probably of all the things, when I get to, you know, that sort of last part of my recovery process is, you know, I can't keep it without giving it away. And that brings me to where we are today, which is that this opportunity of being able to be in this space at Stay shows not only those that sort of, you know, small, because when we look at how deeply affected so many people are by alcohol and alcoholism, there's such a small percentage of people that really get to find any kind of recovery from it, you know? So in that small world, I feel like this opens up to a world way beyond what the recovery world has offered for me. In the ability to, you know, show the world, as Summer said, that, I mean, I got sober at 20. Could you imagine? I mean, I was going to clubs and bars. I was a club kid in New York. I was going to club and bars at 20. And boy, oh boy, would I, you know, love to show young people and all people that there's fun to be had without alcohol. So there's my story, Morning Glory, Jessica.
I love it. Could you shine just a little bit of light on opening up the doors? Because you said like recovery, you know, a very small maybe amount of people get to do that, or, you know, have the opportunity to go into recovery. What does it mean to open up the doors to more of like a general public?
So are you asking me specifically?
Yeah.
So, well, this is much more public. You know, my recovery is this. I never talk like this to people that are out, really outside of my circle. Okay. I don't ever really break my anonymity in that way. And suddenly in this forum, I have done that. In this forum, I feel that this is a space where, and I love this idea of opening the doors. Our door here is open every night that we're open. Mm-hmm. And when you walk in that door, you walk into Kuan Yin. She is the goddess of compassion and mercy. And how beautiful when you really look at what this space offers to people and what we offer to people in, you know, a heart space, if you will. Mm-hmm. It's something much more public. We've had great press. That's much more public. That said, I am in no way promoting, telling people you need to be sober to be here. In fact, much of our demographics are people that drink and just want to have an alternative on a night. So this is just my story. This is what got me here. This is in a way, I don't call it a sober bar. This is just an alternative to a night out. You know, this shows you that you can come into a lounge type atmosphere, a groovy, chic, dark, sexy space that looks like a bar and feels like a bar. And the drinks actually taste like you're in a bar and they have no alcohol. So, you know, I just want to be clear about that, that I am, you know, in no way saying in order to be here, sober, sober curious, it's none of those things. We are open. And that in many ways is for me, the door open to a much bigger crowd of people and demographic.
I think it also lends to a much deeper and broader conversation. Like, I completely agree with you. Like, even at A Sober Girl's Guide, we're not here to convert anyone. You know, we're not pushing our ideas or my ideas or anyone else's ideas. We're just opening up the conversation. We're like the gateway to changing your relationship with alcohol, if you will. And I think that it's so much more than just non-alcoholic drinks. It's so much more than just a bar. It's changing that conversation. It's changing these years and years of like societal norms. And that takes a lot of balls. So like, thanks for being so brave and doing this. This is huge.
One of the things we say, one of our, you know, many sort of taglines are, we're really working on changing the way people socialize one day at a time. And boy, it's a heavy lift.
It is a heavy lift. But it makes it a little easier and a little lighter, if you will, with spaces like STAME, which you've created. You know, you still have that sexy atmosphere. You still have that entertainment. It's a very unique space. You know, it's an experience in itself, regardless if there's alcohol or not alcohol. So I think you've done a really amazing job, like in that capacity. But this is a bigger movement than just not drinking and having non-alcoholic options. So cool. Thank you, Stacey. I really appreciate it.
That's our hope.
Summer, would you mind giving us a little BS self or a little before sobriety self?
I'm sure. So, you know, in thinking about that, I realized that I got to a point in my life where, you know, being out here in Los Angeles in the wellness capital of the world, there are a lot of modalities that people are, you know, I think everybody, human beings are searchers, seekers. And I was definitely on a path of, you know, seeking what. And I continue to be, you know, but what is it that can improve my life? What is it that I can do to gain more self-awareness and get closer to being my best self, right? And change and evolve. And in considering all of these different modalities, I also got to a place where I was like, huh, what is it that I could not do?
Oh.
Instead of, you know, and obvious, what became glaringly obvious immediately in posing that question to myself was I could quit drinking and because that's not doing me any favors. And since that point, I have really prioritized that in my life, that I am choosing to live in reality. I am choosing to meet what life sends my direction, and remaining vigilant and aware on how best to respond to that, to be, again, as I said, you know, growing towards my best self. And that's something that I'm dedicated to. And so that was really, you know, the inception of my journey in not drinking and not partaking in anything that took me outside of my own reality. And within that, you know, at the beginning of that, some dozen years ago, I really realized, where is that supported? Where is that best supported in a way? And where can I do that alongside fellows? Mm-hmm. And this has been a long journey. I mean, even in these last 3 years, building out this proof of concept of stay with Stacy, you know, we really wanted to create exactly that, is where is that place? Where is that place that you can stand alongside your community and you can imbibe, be in a celebratory space and state, and enjoy ourselves as sophisticated adults. I think that is what we've built here with Stay. And, a big part of our mission, something our Derek Brown, who was our beverage director and created the NA cocktail menu here, something he says that we just glommed onto because we loved so very much is we wanted to make a space for everyone at the bar, right? So, you know, no matter who you are, what your relationship to alcohol is, as Stacy said, the doors are open and we're here.
I love that.
Providing a viable alternative.
That's so cool. So how did you guys meet?
We
are Grace Man.
Yeah. Our babies are both, our babies are now 16 and, Amara Grace Mann, Stacy's daughter, walked up to me and ate some of my tofu salad asked me for some of the tofu salad that I brought to, I don't know,
school. It was like a morning meeting
something.
Like sitting on the stage, at the right there on the steps.
And she like toddled up. She was barely walking, a year and a half years old. So we've got a 15-year relationship underneath our belts that has, you know, changed, grown, evolved throughout that whole time. And here we are, you know, holding hands, jumping off a cliff together in this.
Whoa. So how has your relationship changed going into business?
Well, I mean, it's a completely different relationship being friends and being business partners.
Totally.
So, we had a long-time friendship, and the friendship was interesting because it wasn't like, oh, and we're best friends, or we were friends for a long time. Phone friends, have a lunch friend, you know, stay at my place friends. I mean, you know, for a long time. And Summer came to me with the idea in the middle of my divorce. I was selling my house. I was in this, 27-year marriage. My whole world was being sort of completely turned upside down. I was like, I can't even think about this amazing idea, It was about a year later that I came back to Summer and I was like, I'm ready. And let's start pushing this ball up the hill.
And I like to say, I just want to put in here, is that it would have remained an idea for an additional 20 years if it wasn't for a man coming saying, I'm ready, let's do this. And we pushed a ball up the hill, but she was pushing me along with the ball.
Well, we also have different circumstances. You know, again, how the relationship shifts and morphs. Summer was working as an interior designer. At the time, I was, like I said, in the process of, getting divorced. I sold my home, which allowed me then to be able to, kind of settle into a new world, a new house, a new life. And so our circumstances were a little different. I had a little more time to spend, I had a little cushion that I could use. So, during that, but we, I want to just say, one of our very early meetings, because we don't get to tell this story very often. I think we told it a lot at the beginning, but in one of our very early meetings, my house is sort of perched up on a hill, my current house, and the sky was blue and the clouds were white and puffy. It was like that perfect LA day. And Summer and I had really been conceptualizing, you know, so when Summer came to me, we had talked about it being a social membership club. And, you know, there was all these ideas. And then we said, we really need to work on this proof of concept, you know, and build, make it a little smaller so that it's a little more sort of, you know, available to people. And so while we were having this meeting, we took a breath. You know, we went out and there was this beautiful wind and this breeze. And while we were standing outside, these two hawks, these just two birds of prey, these strong, beautiful hawks flew over our heads. We like grabbed each other. We were like, we're doing it, you know, and our business is called Hawks and Bells, the LP that we work under. And at that same moment, these beautiful Kasanti bells started ringing. And so it was this moment, and we've had, and I tell this because we've had so many moments along the way where, again, those doors have been, the universe, like, you know, knocks on a door and says, I'm coming in, you know, follow my lead right now. And we've really been following. And, you know, for the most part, we do it, you know, with as open a heart, you know, as we say, you know, just as open as we can be for what's next, you know. And when our eyes, hearts, and ears are open, we get to see a little bit about, you know, a little bit more what, you know, what's the next indicated action? Where do we go next? So I hope that sort of says a bit about, you know, the willingness to continue to grow and move. And so,
yeah, I love that. And it is like, it's tough, like being in the non-elk space, it's scary. And being a business owner and starting a small business is terrifying. Like, it feels like you're like, literally pushing. Yeah. You're just holding on for dear life. You don't know what you don't know, and you're trying to figure it all out, kind of much like the early stages of sobriety, actually, now that I think about it. Like, you're just kind of along for the ride. You're listening, you're open to like suggestions, and just trying to make it through. But what made you choose the space that you were in now? Because it's so unique. Like, how did you even find it?
We like to say it chose us.
Okay.
And because that's the truth, we had been looking, we're both single moms. We live on the East Side. Both of our youngest kids are in high school, and we knew that that level of availability for drop off, pick up, et cetera, we had to remain close to home. And so we were looking on the East Side, but a bunch of different neighborhoods. And we were open and willing. We even, you know, put some offers on some different places. And when each of those things fell through, we didn't despair for very long because we were intent on being in the flow and really had that continued experience. We used to say that, and continue to, is that the whole process was anointed, you know, and we really, when one door closed, we were willing, ready, and awaiting the next to open. And that's kind of, you know, step by step, how things took place. And Stacy has
a story too. Yay.
Oh yeah.
That's a good part of the story.
Yeah. We got introduced to a lawyer to help us like begin that aspect of the business, incorporating, etc.
That's important.
And we happened to, she had us meet her over in Beverly Hills near her offices in this quaint, fun little diner. And we met her, and we had been emailing, and we finally met her in person. And, you know, we were still looking for a place. And she said, you know what would be great is if you guys could find like a historic, iconic building that would help with, you know, marketing. And we, I think, set out beside before looking at each other and like, say, like, yeah, no duh, kidding. Wouldn't that be great? Meanwhile,
Stacey, like, thanks a lot.
Well, it was it was like, turns out to be an anointed idea in our, you know, scenario, because Stacey had been emailing with a dear, dear friend of hers who has the architecture firm Radar Inc. Here in this location upstairs, and had, you know, been trying to connect us with the landlord of the downstairs space, that had, he was an architect. He just retired, an architect as well. And he had a home goods store in here for years that I had frequented for years, come in, but it had been closed down for some time. And the space had remained empty for many years. And almost, what was it, 3 days, maybe, after meeting with our lawyer and her saying that, the email came in from the landlord and said, oh, yeah, I'd be willing to meet you guys about the space. Why don't you come down and look at it? And we set up an appointment, came in, and as everybody does and how you cannot not do, we just fell absolutely head over heels in love with the space. I mean, talk about history and being iconic. It checked those boxes, but it just also in its beauty, its architectural beauty, it's stunning. And we fell in love with the space, and we fell in love with Richard, the landlord. And gratefully, we are talk about feeling fortunate, and because we do, we feel so fortunate every day to have landed here, and really feel like that ties into it choosing us, is that he somehow fell in love with us too and our idea, and he was willing and has really been a partner in so many ways in in letting us be here.
Wow, that is amazing. What can you just describe, like, the space for people who are, like, listening, and, like, can you kind of give them a little bit of a, like, a vibe check of what the space is?
Sure. So also, Summer and I both are New Yorkers. And so there's this element, this urban element downtown in Los Angeles, and especially here in Chinatown, where people are on the streets, stores are, you know, it feels urban, which is rare in LA.
And totally.
Sometimes we've literally, like, grabbed arms and just walked down the street during our, you know, when we were building everything out. And we are in the walking plaza. So there are no cars within our plaza. So you walk into an archway, a beautiful original archway here into this, what they call New Chinatown Plaza. And the buildings are interesting and very original too, when they built the plaza in the late 30s. And the building itself, when we first got here and we walked into the plaza, I mean, it's all, but we barely could stand. I mean, truly, the building is really the pinnacle of the plaza. It's the main sort of, everything looks towards in the main square. Your listeners can't see me moving my arms everywhere. So
this plaza.
Yeah, the way I chat. And the building is a big pink building, traditional Chinese looking pink building, which is kind of perfect for us. And so you walk in. I already said that there's this beautiful fountain that was not working. Kuan Yin is the depiction. This particular statue is a very unique version of Kuan Yin. Kuan Yin in its original formation was a male denoted deity. And she is very, this particular version is very feminine. and she's old. She's holding a lotus flower, and then so that's the vestibule. And then you come in, and that door's open during business. And then there's another door you come in that's also open, a glass door. And we have a host stand there that we designed to match the bar that we designed, and we have a curtain. And that was the intention of that was this sort of, you know, for me, the intention of that was this sort of era in New York where things were a bit speakeasy and private, and you kind of couldn't see into what's going on in there. Like, you know, it's a little bit exclusive, but everybody can come in. So
it's the mystery. You want to keep them guessing. You got to come in to figure it out.
Something secretive about that, and that was certainly in the way in which we had, you know, originally talked about things. And then, you know, you come in, the space is like, much like you're sitting in a living room spaces. Each area is another story, as we say. Everything's been recycled. It's everything has a story that came before the story that you're sitting here in. Almost all the furniture, besides the
bar stools,
are vintage. Some form of furniture, and so we shop that at various stores and flea markets, and so each space is a little living room. They're shared spaces. So when people are brought in, we message to them that this is a shared space, and come, and we'll probably be sitting people next to you, across from you. And many times people communicate with each other and they become friends, which again is part of our mission and philosophy. And the bar itself, the top part, the pagoda, is original. Much of where we sit, the ceiling is original. There's a glass block wall that's original. There's many elements that we built into. We really wanted to preserve what is original and which our landlord has lovingly upkept. I mean, he is fastidious. And so the pagoda is original, though we did paint it, and there are some areas where we added our name, but there's some original details there. There's some beautiful original Chinese paintings of women. And I mean, it's pretty fabulous. And then Summer had this idea. She wanted this bar that's backlit with glass. And so we started researching, and we spent hours looking at wallpaper to backlight. And, you know, we then designed this beautiful piece that was built through a set shop, a movie set shop. I'm an old art director. So they built the bar with the help of a friend of ours that's an art director. And so it's lit. So it's sort of as the building is kind of pinnacle to the square, that's sort of the pinnacle spot within the bar itself. And we keep it fairly dimly lit. And there's music playing, and the music is vibey, and we have a few plants, and everything, all the elements, you know, all of the lighting is vintage, and, you know, it feels very much like you're sitting in someone's house.
It's a very sexy lounge.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I'm going to have to come to LA. You're making it too enticing. It just sounds so curated. You've obviously thought of every little detail and made it very curated. That's so cool. Talk to me about the menu. What was the inspiration behind the menu and the drinks? I mean, all the names on the menu, I assume that it's taken from like Chinese zodiac.
Yeah.
Cool.
As a way to tip our hat to the culture that we're embedding ourselves in here and really try and honor that. We had always known that we wanted 12 signature drinks to sort of represent 12 months in a year, 12 steps in a program, you know, and so it just, you know, we had months of consideration of what, you know, we would do, and that sort of culminated with being here in that space. It just felt really perfect. And again, as far as the actual drinks and bar menu, we were lucky enough to early on connect. Stacy did some research at the very beginning of us building out our deck even, and the concept, you know, did some research, found this Derek Brown fella from who happened to be actually, you know, I mean, such a gem, but is really at the, is the top tier of the low and no alcohol movement. And came from, you know, bar and mixologist fame, where he owned the Columbia Room in Washington, D.C., which was a bar that received accolades galore, as did he as owner and bartender. And he then had his own journey with sobriety and really shifted, subsequently writing books on the low and no alcohol movement. And Stacy found him and set up a meeting with him. And by the end of that hour-long Zoom, and this was early stages for us, so it was really just us just like trying to build out this concept and not knowing what the hell we were doing. And he, you know, by the end of that, he just was like, there's so much, there's room for what you guys specifically are doing in this movement. And, you know, a sort of higher, more elevated version of socializing without alcohol. And however I can be a part of it, I'm in. And believe us, that was really for us, it was the first sort of buy-in that we had from anybody outside of me and her going back and forth, going like, yeah, we're doing great, this is great, yeah, it's gonna be great, you know. And then when we had that sort of like stamp of approval and his willingness to come on, so subsequently he built through, you know, we did some tasting, you know, we did tastings with him. He came out here, but he was so experienced and really a professional, you know, an expert, if you will. And so, you know, we were really guided by him in the process of the menu. And then, you know, many things came out of the different tastings that we did with him, to get to where our menu stands today.
That's so cool. What are your favorite drinks off the menu? If you had to pick one,
what's your go-to? Right now, mine's the rabbit.
Okay, what's in the rabbit?
It's like an old fashioned.
Ooh, okay.
Dark. It's rich. It's luxurious. It sits on the tongue. It's a sipper. I can sip it all. You know, I can sit for an hour and just have this lovely drink. I gulp it, but you could sip it.
Somebody sips it.
Not me, but somebody.
Delicious maraschino cherry, and it's truly tastes like a cocktail. A cocktail that I would be having fireside while reading my book in a beautiful library setting like that, you know. And if I smoked a pipe, I would probably be doing that too.
Just gonna say, and your pipe. Yeah. It's so funny. We do have a lot. Sometimes Summer's like, get out of my brain. Because we think and say things. It's great. I was thinking the pipe too. You were providing the picture.
And Stacey, what about you? What is your go-to drink off the menu?
You know, it's so funny. I was just, I can't remember whether it was on Instagram or text or what with Derek. It was Instagram because I just posted about Pathfinder. Mm-hmm. The Rat, which has been my favorite from our first tasting last August.
Okay.
So, yeah, I love many of the drinks.
Yeah.
All of the drinks. But this drink, to me, is so very interesting and special. And we just actually met some of the folks from Pathfinder. It was really neat. And that particular, it's really based on an Amaro that, which by the way, I had no idea what that was. still barely know, because again, I haven't had a drink in so long.
Right. But it's not like 20-year-olds are like running around ordering that to drink. So, no.
It's just this very interesting flavor. And he says, he said, it's a whiff of the West. That was the way. A whiff of the West. It's very sort of citrusy and pine and has some bitter notes to it, as well as a little bit of fruitiness. But it's something like I've never tasted anything like it. And actually, we did some shots with them the other day. It's a fun thing to do a shot of.
Yeah.
That's a pretty amazing spirit. And so the drink is made of that spirit with some maple syrup and lemon, and it's shaken with aquafab. So it has a little bit of a beautiful foam on top. Little fennels. We have put a little anise star on the top, and it's refreshing. And mostly I also love, we dug deep into glassware. We go down a lot of rabbit holes in all the research that we did. And this glass, our coupes are this Italian glassware, which Derek was like, yeah, those are too expensive. We were like, we have to have them. We need beautiful. And so it's served in the coupe, which is just such, it's a beautiful drink.
I think glassware is everything. Like, it just kind of like makes or breaks the experience. Like, if you have just a glass that like encompasses the actual cocktail, oh, totally worth it. I think go for it. You can't go wrong with good glassware. Ever. You just got to girl map that in. Oh my God. That's funny. Okay. So you guys have a lot of like events, it sounds like, coming up, or like you do monthly kind of activations. What do you have coming up on the forefront here in May?
Our first event is we're collabing with Danny Trejos, who has a zero proof spirit company. And we are utilizing his tequila for Cinco de Mayo and some incredible specials that one of our mixologists created. And he's like named them after some different Danny Trejos lines in different movies that he's done. And they're so delicious and they're fun and exciting.
Yeah.
And we have a DJ, Senora Moore, playing that for the Cinco de Mayo event. So it's going to be a raucous good time.
It's festive.
Stay festive.
I think also just speaking to like excitement, like I think when people get sober or stop drinking or, you know, are reevaluating their relationship with alcohol, one of the main pain points is I'm never going to have fun again. I'm never going to get like that excitement back again. But honestly, like talking with you gals, like, and all about stay and just your philosophies and like the cocktails behind that, like, this sounds like a really good time. Like, this sounds very exciting, very fun. Like, you're not missing anything here.
Not at all. And we have and continue to more so than ever. You know, as Stacey said, we're just over 3 months open. So we're just building out more of events and entertainment. And so we have the Cinco de Mayo, then we have another comedy night, May 13th. And then we are doing a speed dating event. We're doing a game. Oh. We are doing live music coming up in June. We're meeting for, we're going to do a drag show in Pride Month in June. So we've got quite a lot of events coming up these next 2 months we're building out right now.
That is so fun. Can I make one request? I always want to go to drag shows. But they are always so late at night.
Oh, we don't do anything.
No, we don't do anything.
I can't handle it. And so many of my other friends who like also, you know, they drink too, but, or, and some of them don't, but it's just too late. Like it starts maybe at 10:30, 11, but we want to go see like the drag shows. Like we want to have fun. But like, can there just be like a grandma drag show? Like a,
so we
like
close an 8-er?
Like yeah. 8 or 9?
We close at 11.
Okay, perfect. I love that.
We that open at 5.
Perfect. Yeah.
It'll be your, yes. It'll be your timing for you.
Yes.
It'll be perfect. You know, I do want to add something that we haven't talked about at all, because this is also a real deep part of our mission and philosophy, is that we are all plant-based.
Ooh.
So our menu is a vegan menu created by one of Summer's dear old friends, Erica Daking, who owns Kitchen Mouse and a few other businesses around, you know, her bakery and her, I guess she calls it a waffle shack or something, her cute little thing, and all Highland Park area. And we've, you know, slowly sort of building out a beautiful menu. We started with just a few little snacks, you know, that Erica's team is making for us. But recently we added this chef board of plant-based cheeses and homemade focaccia from Kitchen Mouse. And, you know, the elements on there, people are just going crazy for it. And it's exciting. We're not a restaurant. We don't even have a kitchen.
Okay.
But, you know, there's something in that, in the entire philosophy of what we're doing, which is, you know, Summer mentioned wellness, aligned with this idea that what we put into our bodies can be healthy. Mm-hmm. And so much of what we have here, you're not getting, it's healthy. You know, there's nothing really here that's unhealthy. Yeah. So I just wanted to point that out. Our menu's beautiful and the food's delish.
I love it. Love it. I mean, it's also like healthy for your body, your mind, and your spirit. Like this is just a really must-have place to visit for anyone who is, you know, even just thinking of like not drinking for one night or for a couple hours.
That's right. That's right.
Like use it as a gateway. I love it.
And I had somebody in the other night who was sitting right here, and he said he was a drinker, and he's like, Dad, I can't remember. You may have heard him say it. He had a drink. And he's like, I feel it.
Right. Yeah.
You know, often the energy, the space sometimes, cause we don't use any adaptogens and there's nothing wrong with those. It's just not what we're doing yet.
Yeah.
You know, it might move in that direction. Not sure. But right now, there's something, sometimes you have a feeling, you know, there's something, it's real.
Yeah. But I think people have been, you know, numbing themselves for so long, they don't even realize like when they go out, when they're around other people, there are other energies that you can pick up on, you know, even from a space, from other people that you encounter, just maybe even like the high of being out and being like at night, you know, like we don't really realize how stimulating it can be to our nervous system. Like we've all just been really just overshotting our nervous systems, just blowing that thing out.
Yeah.
And then you come here and you're like, oh, I don't need to like numb everything. I don't need to overwhelm my nervous system. Like, I can pick up on little energies from other little different sources. It's so interesting.
It's pretty exciting to just hold up socializing and being with one another. And as you said, there's more energy in the atmosphere than, you know, than they can test. And, you know, so being on a level that we can be, you know, open to that and not numbing that, and is really something that we're pushing forward here, and we're seeing the results, you know. And we have people talk to us all the time about like coming here and like, I go out all the time with my friends. We've never talked so much about, you know, real things, and I've gotten to know them on a different level than ever before. And, you know, it's a really beautiful thing that we're getting to witness and watch unfold here. And we're very grateful to be a part of it.
Well, ladies, thank you so much for creating this really cool space. Where can people find you on the World Wide Web?
Com and at stay.zeroproof on Instagram.
Perfect. And one more question before we go. Any advice to someone who's maybe looking to change their relationship with alcohol or looking to take a break from alcohol? Any little tidbits of advice you could offer?
Yeah, tell someone. Ugh, it makes me want to weep.
Oh.
You know, you are not alone. You are not alone. And much of what my experience is that, you know, I can't do it. We can. And so, yeah, tell someone.
Love that. Well, thank you so much for sharing your time and your experience and knowledge with us. This has been fantastic.
Thank you, Jessica.
I don't know about you, but I am ready to head on out to LA to check out Stay Zero Proof Lounge. It sounds pretty darn cool to me. If you are in the LA area or around the LA area or looking for somewhere to go in the LA area, definitely check out Stay Zero Proof Lounge. As always, thank you so much for listening. Please make sure to rate, subscribe, and leave your feedback about the podcast. We love to hear your comments. And head to asobergirlsguide.com now. We got your back at any stage of your booze-free journey. From our Sober Girl Social Club, from group coaching, we have everything you need at any stage of your journey. Head to asobergirlsguide.com now. Thank you so much for listening, and have a great day.